read just the last verse to start with, and we'll go back over a little bit of the chapter a little bit later. And in Psalm 144 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." I want to speak on the subject of happiness this morning. And the title of my message is Three Factors of Happiness. There's more than just these three, but I want to bring to your attention three factors of happiness. I believe God wants you to be happy. He's a wonderful God. He wants you to be saved. That's the most important thing. But I think he wants us to be happy. It says here, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happiness is a little bit different than joy. We studied joy at length several years ago, but there's nothing wrong with being happy. And I want to bring a message that I hope will give you a little insight on being happy. It's just easier to go through life that way. There was a report in the Wall Street Journal, not even 2 weeks ago. I think the date was April the 2nd. Today's what, April the 13th, so about 11 days ago. A report in the Wall Street Journal on happiness. Five doctors, I don't remember their names, but they studied over 4,000 people in the subject of happiness, and I thought their findings were quite accurate, and I wanted to use the three factors of happiness that they brought out in their scientific study as points for my message today, and then of course tie them into the scriptures. That's more important. But a study of 4,000 people is usually considered to be quite a scientific study. Any kind of a study over 1,000 people is considered what's called scientific. If you or I interview 10 people about something, that's not scientific. But if you get 1,000 or more, they consider that to be pretty scientific, pretty accurate findings. They found that there were three main factors in a person being happy, and of course a lot of this is from an American perspective. But I want to get into the Bible. I'll share with you those three things here as we go along. The number one thing they noticed about people who were happy was a natural disposition. They had a natural disposition towards happiness. I don't know how this happens. It's just something that some people are born with. Some people are born with a sunny disposition. Others seem to be born naturally sad or melancholy or depressed. We've probably seen the different personalities in people. Maybe you've known somebody that just was happy all of their lives. And then others that just were sad. Those of you that have had children or many children, notice how different your own children can be. And you can't even figure out if they came out of the same womb sometimes. Can't figure that out. You know, one child comes out and they just seem to be such a, what we call a happy baby. Boy, she is really just a happy baby. Or he is a happy baby. And then others just seem to come out and never smile. They're always whining and they're always crying right from the start. And so there are some people who have a very natural disposition towards being happy. And I think they're a blessed people. Now, I think, however, later in life, this actually could be an obstacle to salvation. Because a happy disposition does not necessarily mean you have a clear conscience. Sometimes happy people have a hard time getting saved because they don't think they need to. I'm happy, I'm fine, I'm satisfied. But it doesn't matter whether a person's happy or sad by nature. We're all sinners. We all need to be saved. And there needs to be a time where we, doesn't matter whether they're happy. I've seen a lot of unsaved people that are happier than some believers I know, just by a natural disposition. They're just happy all the time. You know, my wife just has a happy disposition about her. She's always been that way as long as I've known her. She just seems to wake up that way, she goes to bed that way, and everywhere in between. She just happy disposition, natural disposition. Number two is by circumstances. The second factor in a person's happiness, according to the study, was the circumstances that they lived in. I mean, this is common sense to us. I think as Americans, we are born into freedom. We are born into liberty. I think because of these circumstances, we would be probably more happy than somebody who is born into communistic oppression. Or maybe a third world country of poverty. Or maybe into a society, a country where a particular religion may prevail in that country that is very, very oppressive to the people. There are some religions, for instance, that have been very, very oppressive to women. And as a result, those circumstances have kept them from being as happy as they could be. I believe that Christianity is a woman's best friend. I don't believe that true biblical Christianity is oppressive to women, but rather men honor them and hold them up in high esteem and recognize them as one of the greatest gifts God has ever given to them. And they love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But there's other countries that are dominated by particular religions that can be very, very oppressive. Four years ago, the American and the Allied forces brought a great deal of freedom to Iraq. And women now in Iraq are back in school for the first time in 25 years. Little girls were not even allowed to go to school under the oppressive regime of Saddam Hussein. And I am sure, I know there's still struggles over there and so on and so forth, but I'm sure that there is beginning to be more happiness amongst the women over there as they're beginning to learn to read and to write and to do those things. Circumstances. A person who, again, might be naturally more healthy then somebody else will probably be happier than that person. Circumstances, family, financial security, a good marriage, a good home would tend to cause a person to be happier than someone who is born into perhaps a broken home or into they're living in a poor, maybe what they consider, quote, hopeless, end quote, situation. Some people have gotten to live with very, very nice people all of their lives. Others have perhaps lived under oppressive parents or maybe a father that deserted them or forsook them and made everyone else's life a great deal harder. Maybe it ended up a single mother had to raise her children on her own, just squeaking by and never having two nickels to rub together and the father forsook the home or something like that, and it caused great difficulties which robbed them of some happiness that they could have had. But sometimes some people get to live around nice parents or a nice spouse, or they go to a nice church, or they have brothers and sisters in the Lord, or they just happen to buy a house surrounded by nice neighbors. We live over in Angola, and the road that we live on, we just seem to have such nice neighbors. We've never really had a problem with the neighbors, and we get along with them all, and we joke with them all, and we talk with them all, and we commune with them. It's just a wonderful place to live. From what I understand, not everybody has that. Sometimes their next-door neighbors can cause them to lose out on some of their happiness. Circumstances. Now there is, for those of you that are young, especially today, the youth and the teens and the 20s, there is an element of control you can have in the second part of circumstances, and that is if you will watch the choices that you make in your life, especially regarding relationships. That will be a factor in happiness for the rest of your life. You have got to be careful. I want to encourage you teenagers especially to avoid dating. Dating is a practice that leads to a lot of youthful depression. Oftentimes it starts as a very, very exhilarating experience where, wow, I finally have a boyfriend, wow, I finally have a girlfriend, and then that thing goes south and turns sour, and you split up from each other, and you break up, and oftentimes a great deal of personal hurt and depression comes in as you feel rejected. And it's best for youth to have friendships instead of relationships. And you don't want to get involved in relationships. Relationships can cause your life to become very, very complex. And you want to trust in the Lord. You want to wait on God to bring the right person into your life for marriage later in your life. But don't mess it up in your youth. Because you can get into situations in your youth by wrong choices and wrong relationships that can affect your capacity for happiness the rest of your life. And there's life-altering experiences that can take place if you get into wrong relationships. Don't do things out of desperation. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Circumstances. Some circumstances we can change, maybe with some more education, maybe with some more different job or something like that, or maybe the change has to take place inside of us, and we have to quit being such an angry person or a difficult person or a proud person. And a lot of times if we'll just let the Holy Spirit change us, circumstances will become better in our lives, and as a result we'll become more happy. There's a third factor they gave in their study for happiness, and I want to spend a little bit more time on this one. And they said that happiness in these people was based upon how they used their leisure time. How they used their leisure time. Number one, a natural disposition. Some people are born happy, some have to work at it. Number two, circumstances. Some have had wonderful circumstances in their life, some have had lousy, and we have to change the ones we can, and often the change has to come inside of us. But the third thing they said in their study was how they use their leisure time. They brought out in the study something I've always believed, and I've even taught it before. And they said this, and this is just 11 days old. They said, Americans have more leisure time than they have ever had in their history today. We have more leisure time. We are like Sodom and Gomorrah. If you'll read back in the book of Ezekiel 16 and verses 49 and 50, the Bible says this was the sin of Sodom. It said pride, fullness of bread, it said an abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters in those other cities. It says as a result of all the idle time they had, it says they committed abomination before me. They got into personal behaviors that were destructive and ungodly and fornication, so they had so much free time on their hand. Now Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be when the Lord returns. They're going to be building and planning and all kinds of stuff. So much leisure time. We have too much leisure time. I always say that to my wife when we make observations about, you know, do you ever see these extreme sports? We got too much time on our hands. It is crazy. We've got too much time on our hands. And all kinds of things. All this entertainment. We've got too much time on our hands. And what we do with our leisure time, they found, was the third greatest factor in whether a person was happy or not. And amazingly, this is what they said. And I don't need them to confirm the Bible. Don't get me wrong, but I just amazed sometimes that when they come up with conclusions that are scriptural. When people have leisure time, and all you have to do to figure out your leisure time is take the number 168. That's the number of hours every one of us is given by God in a week. And subtract from 168 the number of hours you work. And then give yourself the benefit, subtract from the number that's left the number of hours you sleep. And everything else is leisure time. And you'll be shocked at how much leisure time we have in America. See, we think we're busy, but we have busy minds. We have hectic minds. We don't have hectic lives. We have hectic minds. We think we're busy, but we're not busy. And how we use our leisure time. Now, the amazing thing about this study is guess who they found was the saddest people of the whole group? Guess what they did with their leisure time? Anyone want to take a guess? They watched television. They said the saddest people in America are those that use their time, their leisure time, watching television all the time. Those are the saddest people. Television is depressing. If you watch the news, it's depressing. It's all about the latest pervert in town and what he did, the latest corruption in government, the latest crimes and how the economy's going down the toilet. And I mean, they shouldn't call it the news, they should call it the bad news. Watch the bad news tonight at 5, 6, 10, and 11. That's all it is. I want to encourage you to shut that off and to start enjoying America again. We live in a wonderful country. We live in a good economy. Maybe your personal economy is no good, but that may be your own fault. Overspending, running up credit cards, not using wisely the money that's come through your hands and so on and so forth. Don't blame the government. Don't blame the Democrats or Republicans or liberals or conservatives or President Bush or whoever the next president is for that. We've got to get some character and some discipline and some order into our financial lives. We've got to get a budget. We've got to be a slave to that budget, and things will start working out. Things will start working out. Television is depressing. The saddest people were those that watched the most. They found out that the average men and women watch about 28.6 hours of television a week, and children more. Television is full of not only these negative news reports, but empty comedy. Empty comedy shows that have piped in laughter in the back, and you wonder, what are they laughing at? Empty music that says nothing. Endless amounts of sports. And entertainment. It has literally produced zombies in our country. Turn over to Proverbs chapter number 14. Sometimes the things that we look to produce happiness cause the very opposite effect. Let me give you an example. Comedy. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and verse 13, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. That word heaviness there is the biblical word for today's English word depression. It says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. If you'll study the history of comedians, they are not happy people. There is a difference between being funny and being happy. They are funny people, but they are not happy people. They are very depressed people. They've had a history of tremendous problems in their marriages and interpersonal relationships. They have had tremendous problems of alcohol and substance abuse and a very high suicide rate amongst some of the most famous comedians that have ever lived. Comedians are funny, but they're not happy. And a lot of times we turn to them for happiness. But the Bible says when we do, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. It's kind of like somebody who turns to alcohol to make them feel better, but the next day they're sick. They've got a headache. They're hungover. Turn to Ecclesiastes 1. I'll show you another thing that we often turn to that has the total opposite effect of what we think is going to happen. And that is education. In Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 18, it says this, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." Now, this is talking about worldly wisdom and worldly knowledge. The more worldly wisdom that you gain, the more worldly knowledge that you gain, the more grief and the more sorrow you can expect. Did you ever see a happy genius? Some people who have genius minds have the biggest struggles with depression that you'll ever meet. Finish this statement for me. Ignorance is bliss. Give me a synonym for the word bliss. Happiness. Happiness. Now, I'm not promoting ignorance today. But you know what's causing, this study said, is causing so much unhappiness in our society? An information overload. We have so much information at our fingertips today that no other human beings have ever had any human rights in human history because of the internet, World Wide Web. The information overload is causing people to be unhappy. Well, imagine that. Solomon said that thousands of years ago. That's what's going to happen. He went on later in this book and said, "Much study is a weariness to the flesh." You know, I think some of you are going in the wrong direction. You're looking to education to be your savior. Boy, if I could just get educated, if I could just get this degree, if I could just get this amount of money and so on and so forth, I know I'll be happy. I'm not against a person trying within the confines of God's perfect will in their life of trying to improve their status in life. I'm not against that. But I've never bowed down to the golden calf of education, and I'm never going to. I've warned teenagers against it for years and years and years, and I'm going to continue to. I don't believe we should take our 18-year-olds and herd them like cattle into the secular, humanistic, educational system that has evolved in this country. All that does is overthrows their faith in Jesus Christ, overthrows their faith in the Bible, which is the source of happiness. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. 80% of our 18-year-olds who go to college never work one single day in the field they went to study. In the meantime, strangling themselves in personal debt doing it. Is that broken or what? Now, there are some 18-year-olds who really know what they're going to do in life, but not many. They make the other 20% of it. And they can go right into an educational system, and they know what they want, and they know how to get it out of, and they stick to it, and they get out of college, and they work in that field. We've seen some in our church do that. But for so many, it's a waste of time, and it's a waste of money. You'll know a lot better when you're 20 or 21 years old what God wants you to do in your life than you will when you're 18. But if you just rush off into these educational systems, you're going to end up loaded with debt, whereas you would be better off entering the work field in an entrance-level job and trying to save your money and save your money and save your money and save your money so you can pay for college when the time comes, rather than to get strangled in debt. I'm going to talk about education one of these weeks, maybe next Sunday, and try to get that thing in order. But I want to go on here. I want to encourage you to enjoy life again. Get away from this information. If you want to overload yourself with information, get in the Bible. Get out, shut the computer off. Shut the internet off. Don't think you're going to fall way behind if you don't know everything everybody else your age knows. No, the Bible says, in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. The more you learn of the worldly wisdom, the more depressed you'll be, the more unsure you'll be of anything. But notice our text. I just want to bring out five quick things here. I'll give them to you kind of in an outline by alliteration, and then these are things that will make you happy according to God. Notice in our text he says, happy is the people that is in such a case. Now what's he talking about? Well, he's talking here about verses 9 through 14. He describes a certain type of people in verses 9 through 14. And then in verse 15, he says, happy is that people that is in such a case. What people? Number one, singing. Look at verse 9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Boy, I'll tell you, you see someone who's singing and they're happy. I'm not talking about the depressive music of the world, which, by the way, is another source of great depression, especially among youth. Did you ever see a real happy rapper? Man, they're full of anger. They just want to kill the next person they meet. You gotta be careful about your music. Now, music is a gift from God that he has given to us, and it is also the product of a spirit-filled life. If you're saved today, God has given you his Holy Spirit in you to do many things, but one of those things is to produce music within you. It doesn't matter whether you can sing or not, but to produce music. It says in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I've said this often, and I'll go on, but my favorite singer is myself. Not that I can sing very good. I'm just a very average singer. But it comes from the heart. See, I don't need fabricated music. I don't have to have the radio on. I don't have to have the latest CD that came out. I don't have to have somebody produce their music for me. The Holy Spirit, it says, singing psalms and hymns, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. The best music is not what comes from out and goes into you, but from what comes from within you and goes out to the Lord. Singing. Do you sing to the Lord? Do you know the psalms? Do you know the hymns? Do you know the scriptures? We've got to sing. I mean, there's old songs in these hymn books, and there's new songs we're learning. They're great. And boy, they'll just get you happy. Singing will make you happy. Some of you don't sing. You ought to sing. Some of you don't sing because you don't have a song in your heart. Maybe you need to be saved. We ought to sing. Number two is separation. Look at verse number 11. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. They're dishonest. They have filthy mouths. They're strange children. They're not God's children. Rid me and deliver me. What it's saying here, number two, separation will bring you happiness, is you have got to watch who you run with. In Proverbs 13 and verse 19, it says, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. my worst and unhappiest years of my life were when I was running with a whole bunch of unbelievers out in the world, thinking we were having a good time, telling each other we were having a good time. And we weren't. The psalmist says, rid me of these. Separate. He wanted to be separated from strange children, from those that had filthy mouths, and they were deceitful, dishonest people. You've got to choose your companions. You've got to choose the crowd you'll run with, and if you'll run with the right crowd, it'll be a source of happiness to you. Then number three, it talks about our sons and our daughters. Our sons and our daughters. For those of you that are parents, your sons and daughters will either be a source of great joy to you or a source of grief to you. And so you need to bring them up right. You need to discipline them right. You need to love them. It says over in Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father. What's a synonym for the word glad? Happy. A wise son. But those don't just come out of the womb. I got a wise son. No, that takes work on the part of a father and a mother to teach your children wisdom. You can do it. We can help you, but you can do it. And your children can become a source of great happiness to you. And notice the goal right here. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. You know, I think the standards for girls are just way too low today. You know, all you girls ought to say, I want to be a polished young lady. You would have guys, respectful guys, lining up to know you someday. That our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, rich and regal and royal. Do you ever see the way cheerleaders dress nowadays? Is that disgusting or what? I'll tell you what, if you want guys to disrespect you, just act that way, dress that way, carry yourself that way. But boy, if you can be regal and royal and watch your dress and your appearance and so on and so forth, yeah, that's how we ought to bring up our girls. Well, I got to go on. Sustenance. We ought to be thankful for what God has given us. Instead of complaining what we don't have, inventory all the things God's given us, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. You know, you just, every one of us, I'll just say, Lord, thank you. I got a hot water tank. I can take a warm shower. I got a washer. I got a dryer. I got a refrigerator. I got a microwave oven. I got a table. I got chairs. I got a bed. I got a dresser, drawers, and I got a clothes closet full of clothes, and I got clothes and shoes, and I got a house or an apartment, and I got a car to drive around in, and I got a job, and I got an income, and you could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. You know, the biggest problem, the biggest complaint I hear in America is that we only have 10 types of coffee to choose from every morning. Man, we're suffering in this land. It's getting hard. That there be no complaining. And then it says, happy is that people that is in such a case. And then the last thing, number five, is sanctification. Now here's the statement in the Bible that probably most people do not believe. It says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You know what most people believe about God? Most people believe that if you give your life to God, you will never be happy one more second of your life. He is going to just hold you down with a bunch of rules and regulations, and if he catches you smiling, he's going to write a new rule and a new regulation to wipe that smile off your face. That's what people think about God. I think the devil's been playing with their heads. A lot of our youth are that way. I don't go to church. I don't know God. A lot of our 20-year-olds are that way. Man, by the time I got to be 20, I was so miserable, I was ready for God. And I gave my life to God when I was 22 years old. This statement became a reality in my life. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I already knew God as my Savior, but I didn't know Him as my Lord. And I sanctified my life one day as a 22-year-old, and I said, Dear God, I'm tired of being miserable. I'm tired of feeling guilty. I'm tired of feeling embarrassed by my behavior. I'm tired of feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit feeling lousy about the way I'm living and the way I'm treating people and so on and so forth. I've lived for myself, and in living for myself, it's taken away all happiness. And I yielded myself to God when I was about 22 years old. I said, Jesus, you're going to be the Lord of my life right now. I give you my life. And I have never been happier since. Since that time, I've known happiness. Because the Bible says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And those of you that are afraid to give your life to God this morning, because you think, oh, I'll never be happy again, I want you to believe the Scriptures today. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says, present yourself to Jesus Christ and find His will and do it. And you'll have found the source of happiness when you do that. Any person in this room who says, I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life, you will find that with that decision will come happiness. For happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I can remember a time in my life where I thought if I give my life to God, I'll never be happy again. And oh, how wrong I was. I was unhappy when I didn't give my life to you, Lord. And I scrambled from drugs to alcohol to music to money to buying things at the store, hoping something. Relationships with girlfriends, hoping something would give me happiness. And it didn't. And Lord, I can remember my own opinion was I felt like the most miserable person on earth. I finally came back to you and said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And I found the secret to happiness. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Lord, some in this room fear this morning giving their life to you. That's unfounded. Lord, I pray they'd release your life and surrender, their life and surrender to you this morning. And with it, you'll just flip a switch. And you'll just start pouring happiness into that person they've never experienced. Help us, Father. We pray at this altar today that we could do business with thee. Lord, we pray now for those that are unsaved to come to Jesus Christ today and know this wonderful Lord who wants to forgive them of their sins, give them eternal life, and give them joy and happiness, satisfaction they've never known. May they come. And others too, that they'd make decisions that are right with thee today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.